We're here in what's known as week zero of the Edinburgh Fringe. I'm in Fringe Central. It's noisy, buzzy. Posters and flyers are arriving with people clutching them. I love this energy. This particular show is called Everything I See, I Swallow. And I'm joined by...
Maisie Taylor.
And...
Tamsin Shasha.
This is a piece that's going to play at Summer Hall. And if I invoke the words aerial and theatre, we're going to be talking about that. So first of all, tell us what Everything I See, I Swallow is about.
Well, it's about the relationship between a mother and a daughter, and it uses quite a lot of rope metaphor. We also involve something called shibari, which is an old Japanese rope tying bondage business, as I call it, my character calls it in the play.
Shibari is an art form, it's sort of an ancient Japanese art form, and it is used a lot in bondage, but it's used in our play sort of as a metaphor for sexual empowerment and or sexual expression. The show is a conversation sort of about feminism and the shifting attitudes towards feminism sort of across the generation. My character posts naked photos of herself tied up online, and she finds this very empowering, and her mother is absolutely appalled by it.
So what we've got here also is a really modern theme going on.
Oh, absolutely. We really look at social media and the pressures of social media, and the difference between a mother who, you know, who was born in the 60s and her daughter who was born in 80s, yeah. And she's... the mother is just overwhelmed. And in a way, that's kind of the background behind the title, that Everything I See, I Swallow, which is a poem by Sylvia Plath. It's got nothing to do with the piece, but in a sense, it does, because it's about a mirror, and we use a mirror as a flooring as well. And it's about, for the mother, for Miranda, it's about the constant kind of social media presence, and that's one of the things that she wasn't born into and that her daughter was. So the daughter has between 50 to 500,000 followers on Instagram, and the mother is like, who are these people, these kind of weirdo dirty old men? She's obsessed with the fact that her daughter's image is being pored over, and that, you know, people are in their rooms, especially men, you know are getting some kind of weird satisfaction from looking at her. So, you know, it looks at this young girl who is growing up and sort of coming into sort of sexual awakening, or, you know, just growing up, and the mother who is growing older, who is menopausal, and, you know, so it makes her address her own sexuality, the mother, in seeing what's happening with the daughter. Another conversation between the two, you know, comes about, and in the end, I think it's as about having conversations, that we need to have conversations about this subject, because it's a tricky subject, and it's quite, you know, quite provocative. But the best thing is not to just sweep these things under the carpet, but really talk about them.
Now, we've reviewed your work before, Tamsin, in Actors of Dionysus, where you used Greek drama kind of and brought it into the 21st century in a fairly powerful way. But also, you looked into that, and we've reviewed some of that work where, I mean, you told me before that you saw a rope and thought, I want to do that, and started to imagine climbing up it. But then you got into aerial theatre, which is rooted in circus, but then you brought it into your theatre work. But I guess this could so easily just be a physical piece of theatre, you know, down on the floor, but you have brought it into a space at Summer Hall, you know, which has got aerial possibilities. What made you decide that you wanted to use aerial beyond the fact that that's what you do?
We were commissioned originally by the Lowry to do this piece for a festival called Week 53, and the theme of that festival was coming of age. And I think for any artistic project, it's really good to have certain parameters that are set. I knew I always wanted to work, or I was really interested in the work of Maisie, because I'd followed her work since she was very young. I'd seen her graduation showcase at National Centre of Circus Arts. She specialised in rope, and I knew that she was interested in sexuality, female sexuality. And it's also a theme that I've really explored in my work with Actors of Dionysus in the new writing aspect. For example, the piece Helen was about, you know, an aging Helen of Troy who had had lots of plastic surgery, and it was about her coming to terms with no longer being beautiful, really, and what the pressure of being the most beautiful woman in the world can do when you're older. And, you know, so themes like that were really interesting. So the idea of working across a generational divide was really, really appealing to me, especially as I'd seen her work, Maisie's work. And so we had a conversation, and we found out that there were lots of synergies between us. I think the use of Ariel, I've used Ariel in my work, and I'm really interested in how you can explore that in a theatrical context. And because we wanted to explore a lot of rope metaphors and introducing shibari, which I think is a fantastic USP in Edinburgh. Not many people know what it is. It's really striking. So that I just thought that fit for Summer Hall was really good, because their whole kind of motto is open minds, open doors. And I think that this is quite a controversial piece and quite striking. So,
but I guess also that the this is part of your character expression, is that physical theatre is on the ground. I mean, you can do some sort of playing with that archetypal metaphor of height, of collapse, of fall, of, you know, climbing high in Greek drama of the gods and stuff like that. But also it's the soul arena, possibly. It's the emotions go a long way beyond the body. And I guess, have you explored how you can use the aerial to show what's going on in your character?
Yeah, definitely. I think especially for me, because I've been doing aerial since I was a child. I mean, I can't actually remember learning how to climb a rope. It comes completely naturally to me because my parents were circus performers. So it's a quite obvious language for me as an artist. It's like if you were a writer and then you had an idea, you would want to write it. Well, I'm a circus performer, and it's just how I kind of express things. So I guess it's less of a decision and more of a it's a default for me. And definitely, I think there's so much scope for telling stories with circus, and I've always been really interested in that. Because I did my degree at the National Centre for Circus Arts, and a lot of that is just training and kind of getting tricks, but I've always been way more interested in how you can use it to tell stories. Because I think a lot of the time a story is kind of tacked on to the end of a circus act, but to actually like only use circus when there's a real reason for it is quite tricky. And I definitely think working with Tamsin is really great, because she's so interested in that as well, and I feel like we've actually done something quite good with it.
But I guess then the circus practice, the tricks, has to disappear, so we just see the theatre in this case.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, none of the tricks are arbitrary. They're all for a reason. And I think you just have to kind of get into the mode of having it as part of your vocabulary, so you can tell when you want to say something. You have words, you have movement, and you have tricks, and it's never just to show off. It's always for a reason.
But is it all right, whilst following the story and being part of this, for the audience also to go, wow?
Well, I think there is always that element in we do a doubles routine together, and Maisie is like, pulling me up in something called Pella, and then, I'm sitting on her lap. We're taking each other's weight, which is a really like impressive thing. But and it's quite intimate, the space, so you are quite close to the action. But there's always going to be, some amazing circus piece, like on the Circus Hub or Cirque du Soleil, or someone doing something really like breathtakingly spectacular. But I think people think it's much easier than it is. It's really interesting, because our director is Helen Tennyson, has been climbing up the rope and actually realizes it's not until you actually try to hold on to a rope and lift your weight that you actually know how hard it is. So the difficulty, I suppose, is in a way making that effortless, and in a way with us, because we're storytelling as well, we want you to look at the sort of rope metaphors, and the tricks are kind of a byproduct, really, aren't they? They're a way of us to tell the story. But we also, there's like the mother, there's a scene between the mother and the daughter where it's definitely more, and it's definitely harder for me as an aerialist. I'm 52, Maisie's 25, playing 18. And I think, my God, could I have done this better 10 years ago? You know, 11 years ago, whatever. And so we're using that, actually. We're using that difficulty in a way in terms of the language, in terms of the argument or the discussion, especially when we're climbing. There's one point where I'm rolling down and I have to climb again. I'm rolling down because I'm trying to probe my daughter to find out, to have a discussion with her, to try and find out what she's been doing, and she's not telling me. So I'm trying to think of different tacks. So I'm am I higher than her? Is she higher than me? And yeah. Am I collapsing? Am I rolling down? And then we're talking at the same time. So that's always very difficult to do.
Yeah. And I'll address this to you, Maisie, but it's really a question for both of you. Now, in a play and in writing, it's often said, rightly, that when you see in the script pause or beat, you know, the silences define great work as much, if not more, than the words. And in physical theatre, I've seen that is breathtaking and life-changing to watch. It's similar. It's as much as what's not done and not expressed as what is expressed. And when you're actually having to hold the technique of being on a rope that naturally wants to move in the air, how do you handle the not movement, the silence, the inner space of calm, as much as what it is that you're doing that we see?
I guess that's interesting. That's partly just practice, I suppose, on a practical level. I actually do feel quite calm with a lot of the aerial that we're doing. It's actually not that demanding. I think if it was incredibly demanding, it would take away from the story a lot. And I guess we've worked quite hard on the sort of minutiae of the technique in terms of telling the story, because you're right, there is a lot more at play, a lot more gravity and movement that's uncontrollable and things like that. Pausing is part of a movement quality anyway, and I suppose once you're trained to move, you're also trained to not move.
But also, I guess there's been a lot said about the best way to parent your kids is to recognise our generation. We don't know how to parent the future. We don't know how to parent the digital realm. We're left a bit paralysed by it.
Oh, I think that's very much the case for Miranda. She's just overwhelmed, and I feel that too. And this piece is autobiographical, partly for both of us, more so for Maisie because she does Shibari and has been involved in, you know, the sex industry in a sense, in terms of porn film and making one porn film Emily and things like that. But it is so for me as well, and I think lost the plot now. Well, what was I going to say?
No, we're talking about
parenting.
The challenge of parenting.
And I think,
and parents are losing the plot.
I don't have a daughter. I have a son, so I'm going to, you know, there'll be things, I'm sure, as a teenage, you know, that's sort of scratchiness between a mother and a daughter, and her child. And I think that is definitely something that is universal, irrespective of, you know, the circus element or the physical. You know, that there is some things that we explore there that are just going to be, oh yeah, we've had those comments already. That's exactly the kind of arguments that we're having, you know. So we want them to kind of recognize that. And I think Miranda is overwhelmed. The everything I see I swallow is like, there's too much stuff going on. I can't take it all, you know. She comes from in my character is she comes from an era of when she actually campaigned at Greenham Common, so she was like, quite political, quite an activist, and she's kind of lost that element in herself, and this is about her making in a sense a comeback. Yeah. So,
Maisie, has this, thinking about the you behind this character, has this affected you? Has this disrupted you playing this part?
No, I found it very liberating, actually. I think it's what's interesting is because I sort of, after I left circus school, I went from being someone who's very seen as very kind of academic, very serious, hardworking. I never post any sexy photos online or anything, and then suddenly just started doing that kind of thing, and the reaction that I got from people has sort of fascinated me, and it sort of sparked off this whole journey into trying to find out what's going on and why do we hate women being sexually liberated, and is that liberation or is it just a sort of a symptom of the patriarchy or whatever. All of the things that I've ever done have kind of been an exploration of that, and I think this is almost like a little essay that I'm doing at the end of all of that exploration. Like, it's a way to really have that conversation. And I think that the two characters that Tamsin and I play are almost like two sides of my own opinion, I don't really know where I sit, and this conversation is the one that I want to be having. So anything that sparks that kind of debate is great. It feels really liberating for me.
Final question to Tamsin. Tamsin, are you boasted that you're 52? but, you know, you began this journey younger in terms of aerial work in theatre. If you look at yourself now in terms of your skills and the way that you do that performance and that work, how have you changed and refined and unravelled?
Oh, my God. Unravelled. That's a very aerial term. We do a lot of unravelling and ravelling in the show.
Yeah. How have you ravelled?
Well, I have to have a lot more deep tissue massage, I would say. Yeah. I think I'm aware of what my body is capable of, and I think a lot of it is to do with when you're doing a show this kind of physically demanding. And it isn't as physically demanding for me, I guess, as Bacchic, because that was a solo, but it is 11 years down the line.
What I'm asking it is... there's a real opportunity to slow down and to pull back where less is more and you can be more simple because you've been freed up from too much energy and too much younger physicality. And a lot of people in a lot of fields, writers, singers, actually now see, I can only be this because I'm this age.
Well, I think I'm not going to ever stop, really. I mean, there's other projects I want to do, and that makes me think that there's another project I want to do, which is, you know, to do with the garden and to do with planting and to do with seeds and to do with the environment and things like that. And I have that in my mind, and that's a contrast to this one. But if you were to say to me, I'm not going to do any theatre, or I'm going to sit down, and I'm not going to run, or I'm not going to suspend myself from the I-360 or something, that's just not going to mean because
no, I'm not asking that. I'm saying the fact that you are going to do what's changed in what you do as you continue to do it.
Well, I guess,
you know, as what's opened up.
Well, I'm hoping that this opportunity will open up other things. I suppose it's allowed me to have a bit of a break from Actors of Dionysus, so it's really interesting to do something which is not ancient Greek, which has got universal themes, but is different, and it's completely new writing. It's been really exciting to work with another director and really devise and go back to improvisation. What I've really enjoyed is the improvisation, and there isn't really, when you're working with text, you're not so much able to do that. So some of the elements of the play are improvised; they're not scripted. You know, so we've got certain cues, but there are some things that can happen. There's a fluidity to it, so that's really, really exciting. And I would quite like to explore other areas like that and go down that path.
Tamsin, Maisie, Everything I See, I Swallow at the Edinburgh Fringe 2019. Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.